I want to talk to you about some national issues and some of the issues that people are raising with us over the last few days and weeks. I want to start by talking about the economy. It's a big concern. Mm-hmm. To sort it out, even before anything new that you or the party promises, it's going to cost you a lot. So, you know, maybe cuts in services, higher taxes or higher borrowing. How are you going to improve the economy?
First of all, I would say, let's remember what we've been through in the last 5 years. We've had a global pandemic, a once-in-a-century event. Nobody could see this was coming, and you know, the Conservative government stepped in and saved jobs, spent hundreds of billions of pounds making sure that people could stay safely at home, to protect the vulnerable, to make sure that we minimised the number of people who contracted COVID, putting pressure on the NHS and everything else that we saw during that time, and we paid for people to be able to stay at home. Now that cost a lot of money, and you do have to pay it back. We all understand the budgets and how they work. We all know that if you spent a lot of money, you have to pay it back. So that's the first point I'd make. Then you come out of the pandemic, we're just getting back on our feet, and Putin illegally invades Ukraine, seeing a massive spike in energy prices, food costs, because Ukraine was sort of the breadbasket of Europe. That's where the wheat comes from, that makes our flour, that makes our pasta and our bread and everything else. Those two massive shocks to the global economy have affected everybody, and they saw inflation rise. Now, what we've done as Conservatives is we focus relentlessly on inflation, because inflation is the key here. If things are going up too quickly, cost of living really hurts. It means that your food bill, and we've all seen it, I've seen it, I know how much more my food bill costs every month compared to what it cost before. We know how much more it costs to put fuel in the car. We all know that everything has gone up in value. But we did step in, we protected those jobs during COVID, and we've paid half of people's energy bills throughout the period since that illegal invasion of Ukraine.
But so, what are you going to do going forward?
So now inflation is down to the level it should be, 2%. That still means prices are going up, but they're going up much less quickly. Earnings are going up much more quickly than prices, so that means that people will start to see more money in their pockets compared to what they're having to pay out. We've also, of course, cut national insurance for working people. We've increased pensions in line with the triple lock, and have said that if we're re-elected and we form a government, we will make sure that state pension isn't taxed. And bearing in mind, when we were elected, personal allowance was less than £6,000 a year. That's what you could earn before you paid any tax. It's now £12,500, and the state pension is more than that. We want to make sure you don't pay tax on your state pension.
Are taxes likely to go up under a new Conservative government?
We've been absolutely clear that the point we've taken, the really difficult decisions to freeze thresholds, for example, that have seen people paying more in taxes, to make those difficult decisions to pay back the money that everybody knows we had to spend for that really, really difficult 2 years of COVID and then the invasion of Ukraine. These are things that had to be done. It was quite right we did them, but they need paying back. But we have done that. We have got things right. We've got inflation down. That inflation coming down should see reductions in interest rates very shortly, which means your mortgage is going to come down in price. All of these things have a knock-on effect. There isn't a simple answer to this question of, oh, you know, we'll just do this one simple thing and everything will be okay. It's really difficult. It's really complicated, and it needs relentless focus. That's what we've done as a party and a government to bring inflation down. That inflation coming down will make a difference in the next few months to mortgage rates. It will mean that people will have more money in their pockets. Earnings, as I say, keep rising, and the cut to national insurance really helps working people. So helping working people, helping pensioners by respecting the triple lock and being absolutely committed to it, and making sure that we can get as much money as possible into people's pockets. I'm a Conservative because I believe in sound money, but I also believe that you know how to spend your money far, far better than the government ever can. So yes, we need the right amount of money to pay for public services, those essential public services, but we also want to keep as much of the money you earn as possible.
We're going to get through as many of these as we can. I want to talk about the NHS. Long waiting lists, difficulty getting a GP appointment, hard to find an NHS dentist, the pharmacy contract, long waits for ambulance and A&E we've seen in the last year, junior doctor strikes continuing. What are you going to do to fix the NHS? Because it needs a lot of work.
It does need an awful lot of work. And again, this is a consequence of having two 2 years of the NHS basically being closed down to deal with COVID. And look, we know how hard NHS workers worked during that period. We were all out there, weren't we, on our Thursday afternoons, banging our pans and applauding. And it was a wonderful thing. I remember, you know, those silent nights in Leek, and then at 8 o'clock on a Thursday night, everybody coming out, and you could hear the pans being banged all across the town. It was a wonderful feeling of community, actually, and coming together. And we all wanted to do our best to make sure the NHS could cope and didn't fall over. I was involved at the time in those regular calls with the local NHS, talking to the hospital in Stoke and also our local GPs to make sure they had the resources they need to cope. And of course, the vaccine rollout, I mean, goodness me, I remember going up to the Park Health Centre to get my vaccine. It was a wonderful time, wasn't it? We were all queuing up, socially distanced, and we go and get it, and our GPs delivered for us. And you know, they all do deliver. So I think we have to pay tribute to the hard workers in the NHS. But, you know, now is the time that we have to look at this carefully. And I would take the party politics out of it. I think the time has come. We all need a grown-up conversation about how we deal with health and social care that actually means that the money's in the right place for people, that the resources are there that are needed, and that we are not keeping people in hospital any longer than they need to. Because being in an acute hospital bed is A, hideously expensive, but B, it's not very good for you. You don't want to be stuck in the Royal Stoke any longer than you have to, do you? You want to be back at home if you possibly can be. So we need to get this right. I would personally do some sort of cross-party, perhaps joint select committee of both Houses of Parliament, bring experts together from Parliament and have a commitment that whatever was recommended would be the thing that the government would implement. And I think that would be a way that we could take the party politics out of it, because I'm afraid once you get party politics in, it becomes much, much too easy for somebody to, you know, go for the easy option in terms of, oh, we've got to do this or do that, rather than actually what's the right thing to do. Listen to the clinicians, listen to the people who know what they're talking about, and let's solve it together. And I think take the party politics out of it. And I do want to pick up on ambulance waiting times, because I am outraged by ambulance waiting times. One of the things that as a local MP as we've done over the past few years, and obviously I'm not Member of Parliament at the moment, but we do have regular calls with our local NHS. And I want the West Midlands Ambulance Service to be involved in those calls. I want us to work together on this, because we have to get it right. Now, that doesn't mean we just want ambulances parked on every street corner just in case there's an emergency. We have to use the resources sensibly and carefully, but we do need to make sure the NHS is working together and that all bits of it are working together, and we have to get this. I mean, I was one of those people who was in Parliament Square back in 2007, 2008, demanding we save Staffordshire Ambulance Service. I don't think going into the West Midlands has helped us, because I think it's too distant from us. I think we were much better when we had our own. But that is done now. That is finished. There's no way we can get back to what we had with Staffordshire. It simply isn't going to be possible to do. So we have to find a way to make West Midlands work in the way Staffordshire used to.
Let's talk about education. Schools have problems too. Staff shortages, lack of money for essential repairs to buildings. The Conservative Party is being blamed for a lot of the lack of investment into school buildings. What's your approach, and what's the Conservative Party's approach to education going forward if you win on July the 4th?
Well, I think the first thing to say is actually the reforms that were introduced in the 2010 to 2015 Parliament have seen marked improvements in attainment levels. And we're now at the point on the PISA ratings, which is this global ratings to look at how children are performing, that the UK is now, or England certainly, is now one of the leading G7 economies when it comes to reading, writing and arithmetic for primary school age children, because of the reforms that we had. And we've gone right up the league tables as a result of that. We've also seen incredible improvements in attainment levels at schools. So when I was elected in 2010, it was only about 6 in 10 of all children in the Moorlands who attended a good or outstanding school. That number now is 4 in every 5. So we've really have improved the performance levels of the schools, and I work closely and have worked closely with all of our local trusts to make sure that they've got the resources they need and they've got the teaching staff they need, and they deal with the problems. We do have problems, don't get me wrong, everywhere does. There's always going to be individual cases, there's also going to be always going to be schools with problems, but I work really closely with them. What we need to do in the future is that we need a real focus on technical education. I think that that's really important, that we give all children, whether you're academic or technically minded, you have the right education. You look at somewhere like the JCB Academy and what they do for technical children, you know, the education they offer is absolutely second to none. So let's see more of that, more support for what is now the University of Derby, our FE college here in Leek, and making sure that we've got the opportunities for everybody. You know, I'm a mum, my kids are go through education just like everybody else, and I want to make sure that we've got the right resources and the right people here. But we have, as I say, let's make sure we carry on building on the success we've had with our attainment levels and on our performance levels of our schools, and we make sure that we get the right education for each child.
Immigration, I want to talk about that. It's a big issue, especially since Nigel Farage entered the race. It's been talked about more. Many people think it's far too high, with concerns about migrants arriving in boats across the channel. Others say we need those migrants to fill the jobs. What's your view?
So, okay, let's disentangle the two bits, because there's legal migration and there's illegal migration. Illegal migration, let's deal with first. It is too high. Of course it's too high, but there is only one party with a plan to tackle it. And you know, you can feel as uncomfortable as you want. I don't feel comfortable with the Rwanda scheme, but I think to see that we have something on the table which hasn't been implemented yet, but actually is a proper deterrent to people getting on those boats. We have to break the business model of the people smugglers. And if you're in France, a safe country, and you need asylum, you can claim asylum in France. If you've got to France, you can claim asylum there. And if you are successful, then you can, you may well be that you actually want to come to the UK, and you can come in through one of the legal routes to come to live in the United Kingdom as an asylum seeker. But you need to claim your asylum in France. The fact that people are paying thousands of pounds to get on these unsafe boats is because they want to come to the UK. There's no other reason that they're doing it. And so we have to have a deterrent. And countries around Europe are now looking at similar deterrents. And as I say, you might feel very uncomfortable about the Rwanda scheme. I don't feel comfortable with it myself. But if it's a deterrent that breaks the business model, then we have to be prepared to use it. Labour, of course, have said that they wouldn't use it. And I think we, you know, perhaps what we're seeing is the consequence of migrants feeling that they're not going to have a problem when they get here and that they will be able to stay. I want to break that business model. We've got to make sure that those gangs don't make money out of innocent people, because that's what they're doing at the moment. Now, on legal migration, again, the figures are too high, but we have to put it in context. It was the first year after the lockdown, so lots more people travelled, including a lot of UK nationals coming back to the UK. If you've been out of the UK for more than 12 months and you come back, you're counted as a migrant. That's the way the figures work. We had a lot of students coming in because, again, we opened our universities up again. So students who are perhaps on three-year courses had done the first year or so remotely were then coming into the country. So you see a big increase in that. And we also had Ukrainian refugees and Hong Kong and Afghan. So we had an awful lot of people in that one group, that number, that headline number, which does look horrendous. I absolutely agree. Steps have been taken to bring it down. I've got constituents who are unhappy about those steps because they feel that they'll personally be affected. But we have to take steps around income levels, etc. And so that's what we've been prepared to do. Tackling immigration, once again, there isn't a simple answer. It's a combined thing. We have to work cross-border. We have to work globally with our allies on this. And we have to be prepared, again, as I say, to do difficult things.
I want to ask you about local, if I can, Staffordshire Moorlands. So if you're re-elected on the 4th, what do you see as the big issues for the Staffordshire Moorlands? And what are the things you're going to be championing as our Member of Parliament if you're re-elected?
So I think, first of all, getting investment into the Staffordshire Moorlands. And that's for our roads, it's for our transport system, it's for housing, it's for our NHS, it's for everything. We need to make sure we've got the investment. I was so proud to bring in that over £17 million of levelling up funding to, and we're seeing the work now on the indoor market has started, and Brough Park and Nicholson Institute will follow. I also brought in over £3 million of shared prosperity funding, and I will, and we also have the commitment to reopen the Leek to Stoke line, which is a fantastic opportunity for the Moorlands to bring a really, you know, a modern railway back into the Moorlands. It'll be the first time we've had one for a very, very long time. Over the last 14 years, I have worked relentlessly for the Staffordshire Moorlands. It's always been number one focus. It's the best job in the world to be the Member of Parliament for Staffordshire Moorlands. There is no better job you can ever have. And I would be honoured to be re-elected, but I very much accept that this is an election and people make their own decisions. But I will do everything I can. I was born in the Moorlands, I live in the Moorlands, and I will always fight for the Staffordshire Moorlands.
One of the things we're asking all of the candidates that we're talking to this week is to summarise in 1 minute or less why people should vote for you this time.
OK, well, I'm Karen Bradley and I'm your local Conservative candidate for the general election. For the last 14 years, I have worked relentlessly for the Staffordshire Moorlands. I have worked for over 50,000 individuals, businesses and organisations, taking up their cases, making sure their voices are heard. I've spoken over 2,000 times in Parliament and I know how to get things done for the Moorlands. Now, whoever is the Prime Minister after the next election, and I don't know who it will be, you're going to need a strong voice. You're going to need someone who knows how to stand up for you. You're going to need someone who has a proven track record, and I am that candidate. And I'm afraid to say that a vote for any other candidate risks you not having that strong voice. So I ask you, vote for Karen Bradley on the 4th of July to continue the great work that has happened over the last 14 years and that I want to carry on doing for the future.
Karen, thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you.